Greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's been a very blessed morning thus far. It's very rich and very full. That would probably be sufficient to conclude and go home and we could ponder for the week. There's much that we could ponder after hearing everything that we did. 1 John, the book of John there, that's one of my favorite books. Probably because it's so simple. I'm a little on the simple side, so therefore it makes a lot of sense when you read those things. When you get done there, it's just black and white. And we could say more about that, but for sake of time, we're not going to do that. Today is a special day on the calendar for mothers, and so today we will be my goal, my desire is to encourage the mothers to lift up a standard and to lift up a vision for motherhood. Brother Steve indicated that being a mother, the work of a mother is often hidden, and it is. And that stirred my mind to thinking. I sat there and I thought that a lot of us men, you know, we go out and do a job, and the first thing we do is we put a sign in the yard. We want to make sure everybody knows who did this job or who's doing it. We advertise on billboards. We advertise on our vehicles. We want to make sure everybody knows who's doing the work here. You know, I built this house. I poured this concrete. I did these cabinets. Me. And our wives are at home. And they're laboring, tirelessly laboring. And I'd like to say that The hidden ministry of a mother has a far greater influence and impact on the generations to come, and it lives on for many, many more years than this house that I built or the set of cabinets I put on. And I'm not indicating that we advertise and we put in front of our houses a homemaker lives here or a keeper at home. I'm not indicating that at all. I would say that being a mother or motherhood is the highest place of honor. Motherhood is the highest calling in this life. And so that's what I want to lift up this morning. And I understand and I recognize that, as Brother Steve shared, that not every young lady will have the privilege of being a mother. I understand that. But at the same time, I pondered that there's many young women, young sisters that have that are exercising the principles of motherhood. And I would encourage you in that also is continue to do that. If the Lord has called you to singlehood, or if the Lord has not given you any children, don't sit in the mud and wallow there. But that's a call that God has placed on your life. Use it for His glory. So I think at this time, why don't we turn our Bibles to the book of Titus? As we think of motherhood and we think of being a mother, there's a couple verses here that we want to look at. And we're going to start in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And this is Paul telling Titus what to speak and what to teach. In Titus 2, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they may teach the young women, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." There's a section of verses there, some words that I didn't read. It was intentional. Because, you know, as I was pondering this and I was studying this, I was thinking that them words was probably just some words that Paul came up with. It was probably Paul's opinions and ideas that he told Titus that, well, Titus, you should be teaching these things, but, you know, perhaps it's not the Word of God. But perhaps it's just some words that have no meaning. That sounds like heresy, right? And it is. Because one of the last sentences there in verse 5, it says that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I'd like for somebody, if you could, just come up and write that on the board, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So I don't know if I have some good spellers here. Just volunteer yourself and come up and write that on the board for me. I'd appreciate it. But that's the goal of the message, is that the word of God is not blasphemed, and we'll look at that in the definition of blaspheme here later on in the message. But these words, I'll dissect them. We're going to define them. We're going to look at them. But I wanted to paint a picture of us or with us. That when these things are not a part of our life, the word of God is being blasphemed. These words are not just Paul's opinions and some good idea that Paul had, but it's the word of God. And it's what Titus is to speak and to teach. And I don't know if you caught it there. In verse 3, there's a word that Brother Dale gave to us. Likewise, clockwise, like what? Like as the aged men, so ought the aged women to be. And then it tells the young men, take heed to this, likewise. And where does that likewise point back to? That likewise points back to the young ladies, the young women. That's what it points back to. So I think we'll just move right into this. Says the aged women, and I'm not putting a number on the aged women. I don't know. There's one commentary gave a number. I don't know that it's. I don't put any weight on it. But it said 40. It's 40 and up. I don't know. I'm not here to put an age on that. But it says the aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, on the word become there, you have the three letters, ETH, and that is a continual, perpetual motion, ongoing, moving in a forward direction. So in that same word, it would be the aged women, that their behavior, their conduct, their manner of life, their character, their conversation, it's all about who they are. It becometh continual movement toward holiness. That's what the aged women are to be called. That's what the Bible says here. That it's as a sapling, this sapling becometh a tree. This little lad will become a man in a continual movement in a forward direction. And that's how the becometh. So in these aged women is their behavior, their conduct, their character, their manner of life, their conversation. It's just who you are, is to be on a forward motion to holiness. That's the aged women. Some of these we're not going to spend a lot of time on. Others we will. It says, not false accusers. Interestingly, that the Greek word for false accusers, I'm not going to give you the word, but that is the exact same word as the word Greek word for the word devil. That's interesting. Not false accusers. Don't be aged women. Don't be people that are making false accusations. Don't do that. That's the work of the devil, and that's not for godly women to be doing that. Not given to much wine. Wine was an alcoholic drink. They did a lot of this in the Old Testament because of the water wasn't always sanitary. So they would drink some diluted wine for the sake of quenching their thirst. But don't be addicted to it. I don't believe that's a problem here, so we're not going to labor on that. But aged women, you're a mother, you're a wife, maybe you're a grandma, but you're also a teacher. You're a teacher. That's the next thing. It says the aged women, they're supposed to be teachers of good things. You're supposed to be a teacher of good things, someone that teaches right. Someone that is willing to take time and do good, sound teaching that will move these young women to holiness. And I fear that this concept is at a great risk in our lives today of being lost, of the aged women to be teachers. And so I would like to encourage us as the aged women that to be a teacher to the young women, that is one of the highest callings that you can have in life. It's not a menial task. It's not some, well, it's nobody knows what you're doing. And bless God, nobody knows what you're doing. That's the way we're supposed to live the Christian life, is we're dead to ourselves. We're not supposed to be on a pedestal and everybody knows who's teaching who here or who's influencing what. So I would encourage aged women, take time, be a teacher. Be a teacher. And so much the more if your children have, if you have grandchildren. And even if you don't have grandchildren, you have children, take time and be a teacher. It's worth it all. And we'll understand that later on, because motherhood, I told you at the beginning, has a greater influence on the home than just about anything else. And aged women, aged sisters, if you find yourself in a position where you don't have time to teach, then it's going to be really hard to fulfill these next couple words as we look at these next verses, your next calling in life. Just because your children are all married now doesn't mean your calling is finished. Or maybe they're older, they're all raised, as we use that term. Our children are done being raised, so my I'm done now. This is not the time to go get a job. You're called by God to be a teacher. It's your vocation. It's your calling. Make it an election, sure. Pursue it. Go after it. God ordained you to this position. And if you're a mother here today, and a note on this, Titus doesn't use the word mother, but he says aged women and younger women. So you can rest in the fact that if you're not a mother, but if you fall in one of these categories, then you've been called to something. You're now called to be a teacher, a counselor, instructor. And I don't know if you noticed, but he didn't give a stopping point here. He didn't give an age that says you're done. After you get so old, you can just quit. That's not there. So that indicates to me that you're supposed to be a teacher until your life is expired on this earth. Who are you to teach? Well, you're to teach the young women. There again, I'm not putting an age on this. But be an example. Show forth conduct worthy of following. Aged sisters, be an example. Show forth some conduct that is worthy of these young women, young sisters to pursue and to follow after. Take time, meet together with them. Take time and teach them. Go to their house, sit at the dining room table, go sit in the living room. Take time, teach them. It's the highest place of honor. 2 Timothy 1:5, we read of three generations there. And that's the desire that I would like to stir up within each one of us as aged sisters, that when Paul addresses Timothy, he says that there's something within you, Timothy, that I want to stir up, but it was first in thy grandmother, and then in thy mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded that it's in you. And so back here you have grandmother Lois that had a vision for a godly young lady and a godly young wife and a mother, and she pursued to teach her to be just that. And then it was born in the mother Eunice that she desired to have a young man that was going to grow up in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she endeavored to teach him that. And that's what I want to stir up within us is, as mothers, it's much more than just raising children. It's much more than just being a homemaker or a keeper at home, or I'm just a mom. But you're influencing generations to come. That someday it'll be your grandchild. And you're going to be one of the bigger reasons that your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter or maybe even your greats are walking in the faith. Because you had a faithful grandmother that saw a vision. She got a vision that nobody else around her could see. So what are we teaching aged women? Well, what's coming out of our homes? What's coming out of my life? How can I teach that which I know nothing about? If we're not examples, there's nothing to follow. And most likely, I won't have anything to teach. Brother Denny says that imitation is the highest form of admiration. Imitation is the highest form of admiration. The aged women, now we're going to look at what are the aged women to be teaching the younger women. Well, what are we supposed to be teaching? Again, I just want to encourage to make your calling and election sure. That when you're taking time and perhaps you're sitting with your daughter, you're sitting with your granddaughter, your son, your grandson, get a vision that inspires you to teach things that are out of this world, that these young people will grow up and they're going to be in pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing is we're to teach them. It says to teach that they, the aged women, may teach, verse 4, the young women to be sober. To be, the one definition is to be regular, calm, not under the influence of passion, as sober judgment, a man in his sober senses. Aged women, you're to be teaching the young women to keep their passions and emotions under control. Teaching them how to deal with all the emotions that come with raising children in a godly way. So you know, there's a lot of mothers here, and they labor tirelessly. Sometimes emotions get high. Sometimes there's I don't know what you want to call the emotions, and that they rise up. But as an aged woman, you've already walked through that journey. You've already been there. You've spent nights awake with your young children, and perhaps you've learned some things through the years. Perhaps you've learned how to stay sober when things are tense. And now you're to take these young sisters and you're to teach them. Sit in their living room with them and teach them how this is done. That's the Bible way of doing it. Young sisters, don't be intoxicated with keeping your form. Don't be intoxicated with keeping house with the Joneses. Don't be intoxicated with shopping trips and coffee outings. Stay sober. Stay sober. Younger, the aged women are to teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands. Well, I wrote down my definition for that is to make your husband your best friend and treat him like it. That's all that it's saying. Make your husband your best friend and treat him like it. And some of you aged women, you need to teach the young women how to do this. It's okay. It's okay. We need to, that teaching needs to happen. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Remember, we're doing this that the Word of God is not blasphemed. That's the end goal here. That's why we're thinking on these things. This is much more than flattery, but it's feelings and emotions that are born in the heart. That's why you want to love your husband. You support him. You encourage him. You don't degrade him to others. You speak well of him and to him. You share your affections with him in word and in deed. And it doesn't have to be costly. Just be creative. It doesn't have to cost a lot to love your husband. Lastly, love him as you want to be loved. If you do this, you will have the privilege of watching your husband blossom and he'll flourish. Love your husband as you want him to love you. And you're going to watch your husband just open up like a flower. Things are going to come out that you never knew was there. Then it says to love their children. In the world we live in, children are a bother. That's why we have daycare centers. And sometimes daycare centers are grandma's house. Sometimes they're mama's house. I'm not against all of that. There are times for that. But if this is a continual happening, it's not according to the Bible. The mothers are called to love their children. That's the highest place. There's no higher place than to be a mother. Love your children. Aged sisters, are we teaching this in our home? Younger sisters, what's your vision in this? How's it going to unfold in your life? Young men, married, unmarried, with no children, little children, what's our vision? How's this going to work? How's this look in our home? And don't say, well, we don't have any children yet, so before you know it, those years will be past. So think today. Think. Or you can say, well, my children are just little. There has to be a vision. Without that, our homes are just going to go the way of the world. This is a statement here. I know we're very familiar with it. It does need defining. I'm not going to do that today, but briefly, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Okay, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And the reason I say that is this is one of the most influential positions. Because in that time, it molds and shapes the character and personality of many, many generations. So the hand that rocks the world, or rocks the cradle, rules the world. It does. It influences the character qualities. It influences the personalities that come out of our home. On a side note, dear young sisters, you have about 2 years to mold and shape the personality and character of a little baby. If you wait to do it till they're 2 years old, your work's done. He is who he is. She is who she is. Their personality, their character is what they are. Now, obviously, that can all be fixed, or most of it anyways, with repentance and all of that. But the first 2 years of your little child's life, there's much potential for great influence on shaping generations to come. Motherhood, being a mommy, staying awake at night, waking up through the night, spending days and you're tired. It's okay. It's the highest place. It's what God has called you to. It is worthy. It's more worthy than to be out building that house. It's more worthy than to be to doing something that everybody can see. You're influencing generations. We want to make sure we do it right. To love their children. Then to be discreet. Self-control. Moderate to opinions and passions. This is a young sister that doesn't share her opinion quickly. You've been in groups before, I'm sure, that there's a topic of discussion and there's a young sister steps up and shares her opinion. Discreet, self-control, moderate to opinions. She waits on her husband to lead. She understands her position and enjoys it. She doesn't sit there anxiously waiting for him to make a decision. He's taken too long. He's not going to get this done on time. But she just waits and lets her husband lead. And she enjoys being there. She enjoys being there. She's not high maintenance. She doesn't need every new thing that comes out. She's not always changing her wardrobe. She simply loves the simple things of life. To be discreet and to be chaste. Chaste is clean, modest, pure. Clean, make yourself presentable to your husband when he arrives home or comes in the house. We've had the blessing of being married now for 18 years as of yesterday. And I don't know that I can remember a time that when I come home from work or come in the house that my wife was there and her hair was just a wreck and everything just looked a disaster. But her hair's nicely combed and she's presented herself. That was a blessing in our house. So how you do it, it's your choice. But chaste, it's a biblical word. Define it. Aged women, you're to teach your younger women how to be chaste. And if we're not chaste ourselves, then how are we going to teach anybody else to be chaste? Modest. She's very careful about the attire she wears so as not to draw others' eyes to her. It's okay to do those things at home for your husband, and you should, but it's not okay to do it in public. That's not chaste. Pure, keeping your body only for your husband. You don't walk around carrying a for rent sign. It's not there. It's just for one man. She's chaste. Aged women are to be teaching the younger women these things. This is according to what Paul's told Titus. And Titus is to give these instructions. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. Definition is a guard. A stayer at home. I like that, a guard. Just a guard. You go into Menards, and it used to be that they would guard everything that came in and everything that went out. Well, now they have a robot that does that. You can go in, scan your thing, you can go in. But now, on the way out, they still guard the gate. So you're a young mother, you're a keeper at home. You're guarding the gate. You're watching the influence. You're watching the words that come out of our mouth. You're watching the personality, the character traits. It's more than just, well, I'm just a mom. No, you're a guard. You're standing at the door. This is your home. Remember that you hold one of the most influential positions in shaping in molding the personality and the character of many generations. It's one, a keeper at home is one that keeps the house in order. She is at home teaching the children. The aged women are to teach the younger women to be keepers at home. The aged women are to be teaching the younger women to be a keeper at home. But what's that look like? What's it look like, Daddy? Daddy, what's the keeper at home? What's it supposed to look like? Young men, well, what's your home going to look like? What is a keeper at home? You're going to have to define it someday. If you're a daddy today, your husband today, you ought to have it defined. You ought to know what it means. What's it look like? There's a vision. Something inspires us to go after something that is not seen. It's way more than just keeping the house clean and in order, a keeper at home. It's way more than preparing foods. You know, all them things are included. It's all part of the task. But a keeper at home goes way beyond that. If today, and remember, the aged women are to be teaching the younger women these things, but if I'm making choices today to leave the home, we can almost rest assured that your grandchildren will send their children to the daycare center. You can almost rest assured with that. If we're making excuses to leave the home today, we can almost rest assured that our grandchildren will be in daycare centers and our young women, which would be the aged women then, will be holding careers. Impossible, you say. It's not. If we go contrary to the Word of God, nothing is impossible. This thing of going out and getting a job is a worldly philosophy. It comes straight from the women's rights movement. That's where it is. It's not from the Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. You won't. The only thing you'll find in the Bible is to be a keeper at home. That's the only thing you'll find. These are things that perhaps we need to rethink in our homes. And Daddy, I'd encourage us to do the rethinking. Don't put that on your sisters. You're to lead the home. These are not my words, but rather the Word of God. And we don't want to blaspheme the Word of God. Many mothers believe the lie of becoming great, just like Eve did in the garden. Many mothers think that greatness is out there somewhere. But there's no greater calling than being a mama at home. There's no greater calling. Proverbs 31:10. I wanted to read all of Proverbs 31, but we won't. Proverbs 31:10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." A handful of rubies don't even compare to a virtuous woman. And the Proverbs 31 woman was a mother. You can read that as you read Proverbs 31. Verse 29, it says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." But thou, O mother, the one at home, raising your children, laboring day and night, over and over again, changing diapers and feeding the little baby and doing all of those menial tasks, you excel all of those daughters that have done virtuously. Proverbs 12:4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. In a home, a mother spends much more time with our children than we do. And I don't know what to do about all of that. We're called to provide for our homes, and I don't know how that all works and what the answers for all that is, but their influence is tremendous because they spend hours and hours and hours with our children. So we must make sure that our wives and our daughters understand that motherhood is the highest calling, and it's not just being a mom. As daddies, as husbands, we must lift up that standard. We must put a high value on that. There's much greater value than being a mom at home raising children than there is to holding a career and bringing in $100,000 in a year's time. There's way more value there, sisters. I can't express that enough. And husbands, encourage your wives, encourage your daughters. This is the standard. This is the standard. It's not a career. It's not a position. It's not money. But it's a standard of motherhood. It's a standard of raising children for many, many generations. A godly seed in pursuit of Jesus Christ. Titus, tell the people this. This is what Paul's heart, he's sharing with Titus. This is what he's saying. But I would say this, daddies, make sure that you take time to meet your children before you leave in the morning. Make sure you do that. You tell them good morning. You have devotions together. You pray together. Make sure you're there at night. It's time to tuck them into bed. You pray with them. There's questions. There's burdens. You need to listen to them. You need to give them some words of encouragement. Then you can tuck them in at night, and it's a sweet night. And then the next morning, it'll be a beautiful morning. Daddy, make sure you do this. Dear young sisters, if you're unmarried today, I encourage you to get a vision that motherhood is what you're going to pursue. You're going to leave the jobs go. Maybe you're not married yet, but you can pursue those type of qualities. You can pursue those types of things. You can run after that. It'll be better to go into a marriage relationship with a vision of raising godly children than it will be with lots of money. It'll be better. There are young ladies in their teens that they don't have any idea how to cook, they don't know how to sew, they don't know how to keep house, they don't know how to love their husbands, they don't know what it means to be chaste, they don't know what it means to be discreet. I don't know where the weight falls on that, if it's on daddy or if it's on the aged women, I don't know what happens. But in this portion that we're reading here is the aged women are to be teaching the younger women how to do these things. It's not time to get a job after the children are all married. Young men, if you're unmarried, someday you'd like to have a home. You need to understand this. You need to define it. What's your home going to look like? How do you want it to be? You may have a little daughter that's 5 or 6 years old today. What do you want that to look like out there in the future? You may have a son. What do you want it to look like? Good. They're to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, and they're to be good. Oh, just briefly here, it's the attitude of being gracious. Sorry, it's the attitude of being a gracious, kind, hospitable, and understanding person. It's the attitude of being a gracious, kind, hospitable, and understanding person. That's what good is. And just a little word of encouragement as young women, you must pray for grace to remain kind even when the babies are crying and the laundry's piled up and the days are getting interrupted with all other things. Gracious, good. Again, aged women, you've been through some of these things. Go sit down with these young women. Take some time and meet with them. Sit in their dining room table. Sit in the living room and teach them how to do these things. It's biblical. It's your calling. Make your calling and election sure. Paul says that I don't count myself to have apprehended, but I desire to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. I desire to catch a hold of that which God has caught a hold of me. And then we move on. It says obedient. Obedient to their own husbands. And there's one word here. It's pretty simple. It's submission. We ought to probably define it a little bit. But it's not very difficult. This is simply a wife getting the vision, heartbeat, dreams, and goals of her husband, and supporting, encouraging, uplifting, and helping him to pursue them. That's all that it is obedient to their own husbands. It's a wife that has the vision, the heartbeat, the dreams, the goals of her husband. And she, in turn, supports, encourages, uplifts, and helps him to accomplish them. Don't make the decisions. Encourage your husband to make them. Don't lead out the home. Let him. No matter how incapable he is, let him. It's his position. It's not yours. Don't criticize him when his ideas fail. Support his discipline for the children, even if it's not quite how you would do it. Support him. He's called to lead the home, not you. You're called to teach the young women. The aged women are to teach the younger ones. Remember, his calling is to lead. Let him pursue it. And if you choose not to do these things, you can watch your husband crawl in a corner, go silent, and you will lose everything you ever hope to have in a husband. That's what will happen. When you choose to not do this, you're going to watch your husband. He's going to go crawl in a corner. He's going to go real quiet. He won't lead out. He's going to be scared to. And then you're going to lose what you desire to have. This last point is an overflow of the teaching of the aged women. So when these younger women are walking in obedience to their husbands, and they're loving their own husbands, they're loving their children, they're doing what the Bible says, it's an overflow of what has been taught from grandmother Lois to mother Eunice, and it's an overflow in Timothy. And we all want it. I trust that that's the goal for every one of the aged women sitting in here and the younger women. Mommy taught daughter how to first submit to her daddy. That's the first step. Mommy has a little baby girl, and the little baby girl learns to submit to daddy's authority. And secondly, after he comes the age of accountability, the little daughter will learn how, her son will learn how to submit to God and walk in obedience to him. And then lastly, mommy's going to teach her how to submit to her husband. That's the overflow. That's how it works. And when that happens, this home will be blessed. It'll be a glorious home. It'll be a wonderful home. So the word blaspheme, I said the goal is that the word of God is not blasphemed. The word blaspheme equals, at least here in this in Titus, it says to show no respect, especially to God. So we can read Titus, and we can read it as I first read it to you, that the aged women likewise, that they may teach the younger women that the word of God be not blasphemed. We can eliminate all them words because we don't want to put any words in there. Or we can have respect, and we cannot blaspheme, and we can embrace what the Bible says, and we can live it. These are not my words. These are words written way before I was, and I think they're breathed by God. They're from Him. They're part of the Holy Scriptures. If you want to argue with them, I guess you have to go sit with God in your prayer closet and try to wrestle with them. It's what's written. And to not do this here is just as much sin as to commit adultery or fornication. That's something we have to ponder. So daddies, let's encourage our wives and our daughters to be everything that we talked about. I think we need to be there. Again, we have to help our daughters and our wives. We have to lift up a standard that this is more than just being mom. All of the diaper changing and the baby foods and a sleepless night, all of that is more than just being mom. You're raising up a Timothy. Someday this young man is going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind. And when that's our vision, that's our goal, those little menial tasks, they look like a blessing. And so then when we're doing that, we can do it with all of our heart. But daddies, we need to encourage this. Young men, you need to get a vision for this. Young daughters, pursue motherhood. It's the highest calling. Because many daughters have done virtuously, but a mother excelleth them all. Aged women, make your calling and election sure. Apprehend that for which you have been apprehended. It'll be worth all of life. May the Lord bless and keep each one of you. And again, I just want to, I trust this was not correction and criticism, but an encouraging word to the aged women, to the younger women, the bars up here. It's more than being a mom. But I have great respect for the mothers in this room that you labor tirelessly day and night doing the same things over and over again. But it's for a greater purpose. Because my wife has way more influence on my children than what I've ever had. So may the Lord bless each one of you sisters, and may He keep you in the coming week.